A Family Man's Tale by Tranquil Tavine. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 5. Vernon Dursley and the Goblet of Ice Cream. Because of Harry's status, it took only 2 weeks for Sirius to become a free man. It brought to light a great injustice, wrongs righted with Wormtail left to rot in Azkaban's cold, dark cells. Vernon appreciated his and Remus's presence in Harry's life again, not only as another family connection, but to make amends from long ago.
"Guess what I've got!"
As Sirius's triumphant cry rang throughout his new manor, it startled Vernon out of current thoughts. Himself, Dudley, Harry, Hermione, the Weasley family, and Remus glanced at him, the relaxed yet elegant nature of their living room surroundings seeping into him like a warm bath.
"Lucius Malfoy's underpants," Fred suggested.
"Flea shampoo,"
George followed.
"Some excellent suggestions, boys," Sirius replied mirthfully over the sounds of uproarious laughter. "But I'll have you know that it's Remus who needs that shampoo. He has were-fleas." He nimbly dodged a spell from the aforementioned werewolf. "What I have for everyone is..."
Harry started a drum roll, prompting others to join in for a moment. With hands behind his back, he revealed them, the rustle of several finely decorated parchment pieces in his clenched fist acting as a magnet for their gazes.
"Tickets for the Quidditch World Cup," he crowed. "Best seats as well. Supplied by the minister himself."
"Are you serious?" Ron squeaked, his voice sliding up a hysterical octave.
"Why, yes, I am serious."
Cheers drowned his words out as Vernon shared in their excitement. Professional players. His son and honorary son, on an outing together to one of the greatest events in wizarding history. He couldn't wait. The day soon arrived, and once there, they took in the new, fascinating sights. They'd come to a vast field, many people in various states of dress with odd matching tents. Paying up and arriving at their three identical tents, outside didn't match within. It was spacious and certainly a thing to marvel at, reminding him of the newer apartments springing up around the Surrey area. Upon Dudley's request, they visited the souvenir stand, buying enough for Harry, Ron, Hermione, Dudley, and himself, eventually looking like walking Irish Quidditch team advertisements. Soon it was time to leave for the stadium, Vernon donning everything wearable and carrying his omnioculars. Sirius clapped his shoulder.
"That's the spirit. Blind everyone with green."
Settling into seats, the mascots and teams feeling the fire of an intense Quidditch game, Crum and Lynch drew equal, the air whistling around them as the swell of crowd uproar followed their movement. He watched now, enthralled and unblinking, and to the crowd's amazement, Crum caught the snitch, but Ireland won. He was sure that his ears would continue ringing afterwards, but regardless cheered himself hoarse. They all headed back, intent on celebrating, and soon sat in a large circle just outside their tents.
"How about a sing-song?"
Sirius Shout asked, a chorus of cheers following as his goblet of fire whiskey sloshed over the rim.
"Sirius, do that thing Dumbledore does with the ribbon spin word song stuff,"
Harry requested, his own butterbeer in hand.
"In case we don't know the words."
"Ah, Harry, you're a man of eloquence," Fred teased, slinging an arm around his shoulders.
"A man of stupendous dictionaryism,"
George added, his arm joining Fred's.
"Hey, leave me alone," he protested,
green eyes twinkling above a wide grin. "I'm in my youth. Unlike you two, I'm allowed to describe spells like that." He received a head ruffle as a reward. So did Dudley as he sat close by.
"Oh, give over."
Dudley batted their hands away, breaking into a laughing fit and spilling butterbeer over himself. This warmed Vernon's heart, believing that these were the right friends for his son. While Piers and the others presented a polite front when faced with adults, away from them was a different story. Here, Dudley could be himself.
"Vernon, do you know a song?"
Arthur asked him, the prospect of learning something Muggle-related bringing him to the edge of his grass seat.
"I do, actually."
Not as youthful as he felt in spirit, it took Vernon a moment to stand.
"Curious, I'll tell you the lyrics."
Later, a thin, golden ribbon curving into words floated gently above them, a canvas of darkening and firework-laden skies resting behind.
"Harry, Dudley, I'm sure you'll have heard me play this one a few times."
Draining his goblet, Vernon led them into a song while using said goblet as a conductor's baton.
Show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
He subconsciously swayed.
I had a little drink about an hour ago, and it's gone right to me, Ed.
Never in all his years did Vernon think he would teach magical folk a song, but there he was, thoroughly enjoying it, too. And in time, after a round of Odo the Hero and others, their celebrations wrapped up. Shaking the haze away from his vision, he caught up with Harry and Dudley inside their tent.
Enjoying yourselves, boys?
This is the best day ever,
Dudley enthused, throwing a smile Harry's way.
And I've really enjoyed it with you.
Harry briefly squeezed his shoulder.
Me too, Dud. I couldn't ask for a better day. But Merlin, I'm shattered, he replied through a yawn.
And gradually the celebrations died down, sleep's lure calling every attendee. Screams careened through ozone-layered winds, a snoring Vernon assuming Petunia had seen a spider.
Don't worry, me love. I'll get it,
he mumbled, snoring and turning over, until someone violently shook him awake.
Uncle, we have to leave! Quick!
Sleepily registering Harry's voice, his fear was more sobering than any fry-up.
What is it?
He threw the covers off himself.
We're being attacked!
Vernon retrieved his shotgun, slipper-clad feet pounding against the floor as everyone left their tents.
What's happening?
Dudley swallowed, anxious.
I'll explain later. We have to go,
Arthur ordered as he paved the way for their group to follow. It was chaos. Spellfire lit the air, mocking earlier celebratory fireworks as terror-stricken streams froze Vernon's soul. He brought up the rear until an orange spell struck the ground just in front of him. Thrown off his feet from the impact as chunks of earth rained down, it separated him from the group in seconds. Struggling to his feet, Vernon held the shotgun close, pajamas coated in earthen dust and mud streaked across his face.
Harry! Dudley!
Vernon shouted, fear viciously gripping his heart.
Dad!
Once his vision cleared, he followed the voices, spotting Dudley helping Ginny and Hermione up.
Are you all right?
His eyes roamed over them all, checking for injuries. Once receiving confirmation they were, he gestured in the same direction.
I think our portkey's location might be a good starting place. We can't stay here.
Suddenly, in a cloud of thick, light-consuming smoke, a silver-masked figure in black robes materialized.
Oh, what's this we have here, then?
His mouth curved into an unpleasant grin.
I know a muggle when I sees him. What say we have some fun, Porky?
And then Dudley was magically levitated.
What were you
Spinning around at a high speed through magical manipulation, Vernon saw red, the evil bastard's shrill laugh a lightning strike. He rushed him, the air forced from his lungs and disconnecting the spell.
Arresto momentum!
Hermione called out, quickly slowing Dudley's descent. His hand loosened in shock, releasing a wand which Vernon immediately snatched, effortlessly snapping it.
I'll kill you!
He spat, spittle flecking across tightly drawn lips.
What, with your broken twig?
Vernon snorted, his hot, angered breath misting.
No one hurts my family!
Standing up, he delivered a swift, vicious kick to the man's unmentionables. His partly obscured face paled, a scream entangled in his throat while curling up.
Hermione, can you do the spell Remus used on that wormtail fellow last year?
Nodding determinedly, she pointed her wand at him.
Stupefy!
And in a flash of red light, he was frozen in the fetal position. Immediately he returns to Dudley, clapping strong, warm hands on his son's shoulders.
Did he hurt you?
Dudley shook his head, still trembling.
No, but I've never felt so helpless.
Me too,
Vernon admitted, the vulnerability surfacing in his clear, blue-eyed gaze.
However, I have a few tricks up my sleeve. Enough that they'll learn not to underestimate me. They won't lay a hand on you ever again.
Walking slowly with a hand on Dudley's shoulder, they were at the forest's outskirts, recalling their portkey being close. They stayed in the same direction until a commotion ahead caught their attention. In the middle of a circle were Ron and Harry, several wands pointed at them.
Stupefy!
Duck!
Stop! That's my godson!
Sirius shouted angrily, arriving at the scene as spells overlapped.
These children summoned the Dark Mark!
Arthur and the others followed shortly after, bundled into an eclectic group. A man wearing a business suit pointed up to an eerie grass snake and skull. It shimmered overhead almost innocently, but there was something about it that raised goosebumps across Vernon's skin.
Don't be ridiculous! This is advanced magic! Sirius spat, his eyes flashing wildly. But of course, you're always blaming the innocent without facts. We're gonna need bells, Crouch.
That's beside the point.
That's precisely the point, Sirius snapped. Stunt first, ask questions later, is it?
It wasn't us, I swear,
Harry protested, pointing towards the trees. It was a man, but he apparated away. Instructed to search the area, tangible flames flickered from Sirius, glaring daggers at Crouch. The situation was eventually resolved. Winky, who was nearby and Crouch's house-elf, was blamed the last creature that would ever commit such an act. According to the Aurors, it was Walden McNair's crown jewels Vernon targeted. He was a Death Eater, one of Voldemort's followers, and should they cross paths once more, he would happily do it again. So ended the Quidditch World Cup, but began troubling days ahead.
What?!
Vernon collapsed onto one of the Great Hall benches. He was there with tournament officials, Hogwarts staff and other staff, having heard Dumbledore's explanation. Contacted by Professor McGonagall, he'd traveled via flu powder and their modified fireplace to discuss something concerning Harry, but this he never expected. He didn't believe for a moment that Harry would put his name in that goblet. While adventurous to a fault, he had plenty of self-preservation.
Well, remove him from the tournament. How is it a binding contract when only one student per school is permitted?
It entered him under a fourth school, Crouch explained, boredly, and the goblet accepted.
Well, I don't, Vernon snapped, pointing harshly at the offending object. I will not let an ice cream bowl decide my nephew's fate. It is an ancient magical artifact, Muggle,
a goateed man sneered.
Something beyond your comprehension.
This is my uncle, so I suggest you show him respect, Harry coldly interjected.
Sending a grateful, warm smile Harry's way, Vernon made a point. According to his nephew, house elves would supply anyone with snacks. So strolling over to the goblet, he placed one hand on it.
May I have some ice cream, please?
Answering his request, the large goblet filled with various flavors, a long spoon dropped into his open palm, and, unmindful of the stares, Vernon tucked in. Madame Maxime gaped. Karkaroff's eyes bulged. Professors McGonagall and Dumbledore questioned what planet they were inhabiting. Moody's electric blue eyes spun. Crouch paled dramatically. Snape stared intently, and Harry, having asked for a drink to wet his anxiously dry throat, promptly spat his mouthful out in amusement.
This is an outrage, Crouch wheezed, collapsing onto the nearest bench.
Vernon's blue eyes darkened a shade in their sudden seriousness. Having had his fill, he stood over Crouch, bushy mustache twitching.
It is an outrage. I considered other magical schools, one not as dangerous, but I know he's happy here, surrounded by friends and family.
Sitting down, he continued,
None of you lot are stopping me from helping him. As an underage wizard, he's at a severe disadvantage, and I mean to level the playing field, that's all.
He glanced over at Professor McGonagall.
May I use your fireplace to return home?
As she nodded once, Vernon pulled Harry into a hug.
I believe you, and I believe in you, Harry. I won't let some jumped-up artifact dictate how this plays out.
Vernon left a silent great hall behind him, the remnants of truth fading into ancient stone.
Uncle V, the first task is dragons. We only allowed our wands. I'm doing my best to research and keep a level head, but I'm terrified. What am I supposed to do against one of those? Any advice or ideas you have, I'm all ears. I feel so lost right now. Love, Harry.
Scanning the yellowed parchment, Vernon's eyes numbed, icy shock dousing him as the letter fluttered from his fingertips.
Dragons?
Vernon, what's wrong?
Dragons, Vernon whispered weakly. That tournament Harry has to compete in.
They're dragons. Are they insane? For the first time, Petunia was not apathetic or cold wherever Harry was mentioned. Concern emerged, if for a moment.
Dragons? But he's 14. Surely they can't do that.
Harry has to face what the other champions do, regardless of experience levels.
But that's unfair. Is it getting any additional help to bridge the age gap?
No. When warm, thin fingertips squeezed his hand, it was enough for Vernon to glance up. And that's when he saw it, a mirror of his own emotions within her gaze.
We'll help him.
She picked the letter up. He's only allowed a wand. Vernon said nothing, watching this side of Petunia present so often during their youthful dates. While physically present, her mind was submerged in long ago.
When Lily returned home one year, she used a spell that made objects zoom towards her. It drove me insane, but it happened so often that it's impossible to forget.
Accio, would he be able to use that to get something? For a time they sat there, sharing the same thoughts. What was Harry good at? The first thing that popped to mind was flying. He'd seen firsthand some of the amazing stunts he could pull on a broom. He could give a dragon a run for its money.
That's it! Vernon cried, smacking his fist and open palm together. He can summon his broom!
Petunia smiled fleetingly.
Then we better apply quickly.
Thoroughly motivated enough to push aside his fear, Vernon quickly penned a response.
Harry, dragons! Believe me, when I get a hold of those officials, their ears will fall off, but Petunia and I have an idea. She suggested you use Accio, and I thought, you're a builder of a flyer, so why not summon your broom? Leave the window open, and Bob's your uncle. Hang in there. I couldn't be prouder. I'll see you at the first task. Love, Uncle V.
Sealing and sending the letter with Hedwig, all they could do was wait. That day loomed over them like an overcast shadow, but they would get through this.
I'll come with you.
Today was the first Triwizard Tournament task. As Vernon bid goodbye and took a pinch of flu powder, he turned back to Petunia, blinking.
You want to? I have no desire to be in that world.
Her expression momentarily darkened.
But I'm going to support him.
All right, I'll go first. It's Professor McGonagall's office, Hogwarts.
As she nodded once, Vernon stepped into the flames, arriving in a flurry of ashy gray smoke. The professor greeted him, Vernon informing her that Petunia would be here as well. With that, her eyes widened.
Well, that is unexpected. However, Potter needs all the support he can get.
And then, with more grace than he would have expected for her first time, Petunia emerged from the flames. Eyeing the professor with a tight-lipped smile, she stiffly inclined her head.
If you'll follow me, I will take you to the spectator area.
Years ago, Vernon would have needed a brief rest before reaching their destination, but this time, though huffing and puffing, he made it all the way there without stopping. When tapped on the shoulder, he glanced behind, spotting Sirius and Remus sitting just behind them. Through the crowd's general chatter, the former mouthed,
Petunia came with you?
As he nodded once and verbally greeted them, Petunia did as well, albeit stiffly. And soon, the task was underway. They had to retrieve a golden egg from each of their respective dragons, and knowing that they were all nesting did nothing to assuage his nerves. Though Vernon tried to watch the champions, he could only focus on Harry. If not involved, he could appreciate the majesty of these creatures, but as it stood, all that he remembered was Crumb causing his Chinese fireball to stamp all over her eggs. And then, to his utter dread, Harry was next. In contrast, Vernon focused so intently on unfolding events that colors and sounds branded his senses. The crowd fell silent, a bubble of anticipation hanging overhead.
Accio Firebolt!
He cried. Swallowing several times as his heart rate skyrocketed, they waited with bated breath until a steady whoosh filled their ears. Harry's broom arrived, effortlessly swinging his leg over the top. It immediately occurred to Vernon what Harry was trying to do once airborne, luring the dragon to take flight enough for him to swoop down and snatch the golden egg. And all went to plan at first, but then with one fierce tug, the chain snapped and dropped with a clatter. Harry darted away, and scattering bits of broken chain, they took off towards Hogwarts.
Why weren't those chains secure?
Vernon roared, apoplectic with rage.
Hell's bells, you have magic!
The crowd watched a dark speck weaving between towers and a long, spiky tail slamming into stone, crumbling beneath the onslaught.
Why aren't the Andalus trying to stop this?
Petunia eventually whispered. The blinds ripped from her gaze as it plunged her back into the world she'd tried desperately to avoid.
I don't know, but they will hear from me.
Having stood up without realizing, Vernon sat down, hearing Sirius's words in his ear.
I'll join you on that. And they redesigned the tusks to be safer. Ha!
It seems Albus has beaten us, Remus added, his voice wavering.
Looking in that direction, he saw the tournament officials, looking thoroughly cowed when faced with Dumbledore. While only a side view, it was enough to glimpse into the anger that Vernon was feeling right now. Harry and the Horntail returned, the latter having damaged a fair amount of Hogwarts. Reaching her nest, he swiped the golden egg. Vernon was so relieved that he couldn't speak, settling for clapping vigorously as a thick, magical net prevented her from flying. Harry hung there momentarily, fear draining as euphoria and adrenaline rushed in. As the task ended with him tied for first place, after seeing his friends, Harry came over to the small group.
Did you see that? I was faster than a dragon!
Yes, that took years off my life, Vernon stated, deadly serious. However, you did a fine job.
As Vernon, Sirius, and Remus absorbed themselves in Harry's excited chatter, Petunia observed through unfiltered eyes. She hung back, unsure until Harry saw her.
Aunt Petunia, you came! Thanks for the advice. What did you think?
Suddenly, unbidden, Petunia broke into a stream of silent tears. Though cutting herself off from her family, she missed them, especially Lily, sweet to her sour disposition, and how she'd treated Harry, too. This was her family, and yet a heavy, suffocating blanket of shame covered her. She didn't abhor magic, only having none herself. Everything was a reminder of this, and as such, covered all her experiences with future magic users, some up until their dying days.
Aunt Petunia?
It took everything within Vernon to stay there, realizing that this must be her breakthrough. She composed herself, though unable to mask her vulnerability.
Seeing you here, I've realized how horrible my behavior is. I never wanted you to be in danger like this, and I will try to make up for that. I'm sorry.
Harry listened in stunned silence, seeing a side of his aunt he never believed existed.
I accept your apology.
Slowly, he smiled, and then threw his arms around her. She stiffened visibly, but then returned Harry's sincere embrace. Though brief, it was a start, one which encouraged further, light conversation about the first task. Blinking back tears of his own, Vernon, Sirius, and Remus returned to their seats, joining in their conversation. Today was a new beginning for aunt and nephew. As it was a teacher training day, Dudley could come along to watch the second task with Vernon and Petunia. However, this excitement was short-lived.
But we can't see anything,
Dudley frowned, staring into the eerily still waters that the four champions had dove into minutes ago. In a burst of inspiration, Vernon purchased scuba diving gear for Harry, and with a little magical tweaking, it was light enough not to impact his movement.
How would any of us know if they needed help?
This time, sitting close by, was Dumbledore who murmured,
Yes, rather a large oversight on their part.
Pulling a bag of lemon drops from his robes and offering one to them, only Dudley accepted as he popped one between his lips. And as for your question, Vernon, I have a rather amicable relationship with the merfolk. Should anything happen, they will inform me.
Merfolk?
Perhaps Vernon should read some of Harry's books. He'd heard a couple of magical creatures mentioned in passing, but there was more diversity in this world than he'd thought. Whatever way they spun it, sitting and watching a silent lake wasn't most people's idea of entertainment. Some had taken to chatting amongst themselves, even playing idle games or wandering around, until something broke the still waters. He assumed this must be one of the merfolk, but they looked nothing like in his imagination. Vaguely humanoid in appearance, but possessing bulging eyes and gleaming scales, his long hair held a seaweed texture, as he and Dumbledore communicated in a language unknown to them. and then, breaking the waves with nothing, was Fleur, attacked by Grindylows, according to some of those gathered. For a while, save for Fred and George and their running bets, that was the most interesting thing happening.
I hope they take this into account with the next task, Petunia sniffed, glaring at who she believed responsible. What's the point of having spectators?
That's the thrill of marathon runners, I suppose, Vernon murmured thoughtfully, brushing his mustache. Briefly seeing those runners and cheering them on. I would rather watch it at home, though.
The idle chat was all that stopped Vernon from assuming the worst, as he didn't know what exactly was within those waters. At least with the first task, he could see for himself that Harry was doing all right. Time slipped by, and with it, Cedric and Cho broke the water's surface, followed by Crumb several minutes later with Hermione. He frowned momentarily, briefly wondering what their connection was beyond that Yule ball he'd heard so much about. But that thought was brief, refocusing his attention on Harry's imminent arrival. Only the minutes ticked by, with no sign of his appearance. Just when he was about to express his worries to Dumbledore, the water rippled, Harry poking his scuba-clad head above the surface with Ron and a young girl who Vernon assumed was Fleur's sister. Realizing what he'd done, he softly smiled. It was just like Harry to do such a thing, and as word spread, the resulting points led him into second place. Listening to Harry explaining how he stood up to the merfolk despite their aggressive insistence on taking only one, Proud didn't even sum up his feelings.
"You argue with merfolk?" Dudley exclaimed,
chatting away to Harry, who magically dried himself off.
"Nice! I wish I could have seen it."
Removing his headgear, Harry stared incredulously.
"Hang on, so you've all sat here without being able to see anything?"
Seeing simultaneous nods, he huffed disbelievingly. "I would have thought they'd have had magical cameras or something, but hopefully next time. I can't wait to get this over with." The second task finished, ready for the last and an awarding of the Triwizard Cup. Unfortunately, the third task was much the same setup. The Triwizard Cup was in a maze center, of which each champion had to navigate through various obstacles to reach it. And of course, it left no room for outside viewing.
"Are they taking the piss?"
Sirius questioned, incredulous. "Not that it counted for anything last time, but at least they were in the front of us.
The maze is on our right."
Petunia and Dudley weren't here this time, attending his parents' evening at Smeltings.
"Magic they have, brains they have not,"
Vernon grumbled to himself, opening a large bag of crisps and offering them to those sitting nearby.
"Thanks, I'm starving,"
Ron mumbled through a mouthful of potato, missing Hermione's disgusted look as she politely declined. Vernon was glad to be sitting in familiar company, as he couldn't shake the bad feeling he had. He kept it to himself, not wanting to worry any of them, even if it didn't abate. The time dragged by, as while not able to see, their hearing was clear enough to hear the faint cries of spells and some screams, until suddenly they stopped. As the champions exited the maze, Cedric approached Dumbledore, his face painted in confusion. He immediately came over to Vernon and everyone else sitting there.
"Cedric has informed me that Harry has touched the Triwizard Cup. As it is a portkey to return him to the entrance and identify the winner, he should be here."
Opening and closing his mouth, Vernon struggled to find the words, as if tongue-tied. Clenching his fist so tight that it grew bloodless, Hermione was the first to respond.
"But how? I thought only you could make portkeys into or out of Hogwarts."
"I can only surmise that whoever did this modified the cup. Many other portkeys were arranged for others to be here. So in that business, the culprit was chosen to act."
This didn't have to mean anything bad, Vernon tried to remind himself, but one question overall stood out. Why Harry? Why couldn't he have a normal school year, like any other teenager? Where was he now? As they made preparations to search for Harry's location, minutes passed, until suddenly he reappeared. Clutching the Triwizard Cup and looking very disheveled, he jogged over to Vernon, Hermione, and Ron.
"Where's Dumbledore? I think he needs to hear this. I went somewhere really weird."
Unseen by them, Mad-Eye's eye swiveled in its head faster than usual, his mosaic face slack-jawed in shock.
"Harry! Thank Madeline. I'll go find him."
Ron exhaled in relief, weaving through the muttering crowd. Vernon collapsed into his seat.
"Those were the longest minutes of my life."
"Sorry about that."
Harry scratched his head, and in doing so, revealed a long, shallow gash. Noticing his concerned gaze and reassuring him he'd know soon, Dumbledore returned alongside Sirius, Remus, and Madame Pomfrey. Giving him the once-over and a quick magical scan, she healed his injuries, then left him be. As they cast privacy charms around the area, Harry launched into an explanation.
It took me to some sort of cemetery. I don't know where, but one tombstone belonged to Tom Riddle, and opposite was this huge, man-sized cauldron. Then someone cloaked in black came, carrying something, and started attacking me. I ran back to the portkey, but one of their spells must have cut into my arm just before disappearing.
Seeming to decide on something, Harry continued, I usually just write stuff down rather than talk everything out, but I think I'm seeing visions of him. It seemed like he was planning something, but I couldn't be sure until now. I'm sure what he was carrying was Voldemort himself, too, as he didn't sound or look human from the flashes I saw. Though Vernon regarded Dumbledore as somewhat dotty and certainly too carefree regarding security, the swift change he underwent from that to one who has seen much was instant.
Thank you for telling me, Harry. I have theories, but nothing that is concrete. But should I be sure of what happens tonight, I will inform you.
And, to more than just Harry's relief, that wrapped up the Triwizard Tournament, though the concerns of visions would have to be discussed at a later date.
I feel bad that you couldn't see the last two tasks. Sirius, do you have a pensieve? I'll show anyone who's interested what happened.
Once confirming he did, Sirius's concern for Harry became tinged in eagerness, knowing that they wouldn't miss out. While hating that he'd had to do this, there was no doubt he was the best champion of an age and a cracking godson. While all this was happening, Professor McGonagall witnessed the shock of her life, Moody shifting into someone different.
Oh my goodness, Albus!
While a Triwizard Tournament winner was celebrated, an imposter came to light. As they took away Barty Crouch Jr. to Azkaban's holding cells, after gaining much-needed information, the real Mad-Eye was released. Elsewhere, in a dank, fog-covered cemetery, blood, unwillingly given, splattered across the parched grass. Collected and dropped into a cauldron, only one thing went right tonight. While Harry wouldn't be facing the man who had permanently uprooted his life just yet, Lord Voldemort was nonetheless back.
For the text of this and other stories by the same author, visit archiveofourown.com/users/Tranquil_Tavine. First pass editing by Ohana. Music by Vincent Lopez and his Hotel Pennsylvania Orchestra, circa 1925, now in the public domain. If you would like to commission me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Patreon page, to which I hope you consider subscribing to support me, and my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.